In 2013, we had it all. We took the Constructors' World Championship for the fourth time.
Fantastic. We've won the Constructors. Thank you. Well done.
And Sebastian Vettel secured his place in history once again.
Yes, and yes again.
Now it's all to play for again. 19 races, a new driver on the team.
I think the season ahead is going to be, you know, very challenging, but very exciting.
And anything can happen. This is the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast.
Hello, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Daniel Ricciardo.
That was brilliant, mate. I think we can see a smile from here. Nice job.
Thanks, guys.
Hi there, it's Sebastian Vettel. You're listening to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast.
You've done it. Style. Fantastic. You're a four-time world champion. You joined the greats. Well done.
You did it. Yes. Yes.
Can I do donuts?
Donuts will not be required. Thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
We are back. It's the first Grand Prix of the 2014 season and we're in Melbourne, Australia, one of the most popular and friendliest venues on the schedule. Melbourne has become a firm favourite with fans and drivers alike since replacing Adelaide as the home of the Australian Grand Prix back in 1996. The circuit itself only comes into existence once a year, of course, and around the flat street track there are 16 turns on a 5.3-kilometre lap. The race is 58 laps with a total distance of 307.6 kilometres. It's a big one. Today doesn't just mark the start of the 2014 campaign. It doesn't just signal the start of Seb's pursuit of a fifth world title, nor is it solely the beginning of Daniel Ricciardo's career with us. All of those are, of course, huge events for the team. But today in Albert Park, we reached another landmark, the start of our 10th anniversary year of racing in F1. So why not tweet us your favourite moment in our 10 years of racing by using the hashtag 10 years racing on Twitter. Coming up on the podcast, we speak to both our drivers about their 2014 debut. We catch up with Christian Horner, Sebastian Buemi and David Coulthard and get their thoughts on the start of the new campaign. First, though, a new season always brings changes for rules and regulations in Formula One. This year, it's been back to the drawing board as we welcome a brand new engine and very different rules. Here are Sebastian Vettel and Daniel Ricciardo to take you through the key elements.
Hey, things have changed a lot since 2013. The technical regulations are very different for this season.
The philosophy behind the new rule changes was to make the car safer and more fuel efficient. Here are the main changes. New nose, front wing, rear wing, engine, gearbox, an enhanced energy recovery system and much more. The amount of fuel used in the race has been restricted. We now have 30% less in the tank. How can you save that much and still keep running?
First of all, we get one extra gear, 8 instead of 7. The most revolutionary change is the new fuel-efficient engine.
Much higher pressure fuel injection for more complete and efficient fuel burning, 2 cylinders less, V6 instead of V8. There's a rev limit of 15,000 RPM. But the turbo is back, and with the turbo sound.
The energy recovery system has been enhanced. The new ERS now has 2 motor generator units. The new one is powered by the flow of hot exhaust gases. The other one still uses brake energy from the rear wheels. It's a lot more powerful now.
The battery pack now stores 10 times the amount of energy. That's enough for 33 seconds per lap rather than 6.6 as before. And a double boost of 160 horsepower.
Therefore, more torque, which means it's tougher to control getting on the power. So we can expect lots more battles.
Our feet move down because the nose comes down for safety reasons.
The front wing is narrower, downforce is reduced significantly, the blown diffuser is gone, as well as the beam wing, the rear has to be supported.
The main flap is flatter and opens up further. DRS attacks can now be more aggressive.
The new power units have to last longer too. We used to have 8 engines for the entire season. Now we only have 5 complete power units.
Shall we give the first engine a tickle?
Heck yeah!
It's all very exciting. Rich caught up with our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi, to see how these changes affect the driver and to get his thoughts on the new season.
Hi, so I'm joined here by Sebastian Buemi. Sebastian, welcome back. It's the beginning of the Formula One season. And what did you do over the break?
I
quite a lot of things. Obviously, I've been doing some work in a simulator for the team. Spent quite a lot of time there working on the new car and trying to get things sorted. To be competitive here in Melbourne.
Coming into Melbourne, obviously there's a lot of hype and anticipation at the beginning of the season with all the regulation changes. What's the one thing you're looking forward to the most this season?
To have great result at the end. That's what we are working for. But it's going to be a tough season. As you mentioned, there is a lot of new rules, new things on the car, and it's not going to be easy. The team has done a fantastic job working really, really hard over the winter. We had a difficult winter testing, and with the qualifying of this weekend, we can be happy with the performance of the car, definitely.
Talking about all the regulation changes, there's been quite a few, and we sent out a video online explaining those challenges. And what's the one challenge that most of the drivers really struggle with or are really trying to get to terms with out of all of the regulation changes?
It's difficult to pick up only one thing, but I think it's a combination of things. For example, the fuel saving, we'll have to look after fuel if we want to finish the race. So you've got to change and adapt your driving style, as well as the fact that we have less downforce on the car. The new exhaust system doesn't allow you to have so much grip on the rear end of the car, and the car is moving a lot more, so you've got to deal with that. The tires are a little bit stiffer than last year as well, so there's a lot of things that makes the driving style more difficult. We've seen the car, they move just a lot more. So, I don't say that last year it was easy, but it's definitely a little bit more tricky to manage the power of the car this year.
Obviously, we had Albert Park for the start of the season. Can you give us a brief overview of the circuit down the lap?
It's a bit of a strange circuit because it's not really a street circuit. It's not really a normal permanent circuit either. So you've got definitely the first sector, which is quite quick with some 90 degrees corners. And then in the second sector, you've got some slow speed and high speed chicane. And the last sector is definitely a sector where you need a lot of downforce because you've got a lot of slow speed corners where basically more downforce you have on the car, quicker you are. And the circuit is not easy. We had some rain on the qualifying. There's a lot of white lines on the circuit, so if it's wet, it's slippery. And like I said, it's not used all the year, so you've got to adapt the car for this type of circuit.
You mentioned earlier that you've been doing a lot of work in the sim, and you will continue to do work throughout the year in the sim. How does the work that you do at Milton Keynes help the team on the track here? And can you give us a bit more information about that?
It's not a secret to anyone anymore. We've got a good simulator. We try to use it as much as we can to improve the car. But basically, it's part of the tool we have to make a better car, and we try to use it as much as possible. I obviously can't go into secret things, but we use it, both for driving knowledge for the drivers itself, to learn a new circuit, or even just to tune the setup of the car.
Where can fans catch you in action this year, and where will you be racing?
I'll be racing with Toyota for the whole Endurance Championship in LMP1 and the 24 Hours of Le Mans, and otherwise I will be attending all the Grand Prix as reserve driver, so people can catch up on those two championships.
And when it comes to like a race like Le Mans, how does that differ to in preparation compared to like a Formula 1 race?
I think the biggest difference is basically that Le Mans is 24 hours, and you've got to find a compromise between having a very quick and performant car and the car that basically finishes the race, because you've got to do close to 6,000 kilometers, and you cannot just go at the limit like we do in Formula 1. In Formula 1, the car has to stay together for an hour and a half. Obviously, with the new regulation, the engine have to stay together a bit longer, but it's, we go into very small detail that's going to bring us a little bit of lap time, and we don't make any compromise in terms of, we don't need parts to stay together for a long time.
Wrapping up, what are your predictions for 2014, if you have any?
No, I think, obviously, Mercedes is very competitive. We've seen it now already during winter testing and the start of this weekend. I think the surprise might come from Daniel. He's doing a great job. He did a fantastic qualifying on Saturday, so I'm looking forward to see what he can do this year.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, and good luck for the season.
On to the race now, and qualifying got off to a very positive start, with Daniel securing his place on the front row at his first race race as part of the team. He started behind the Mercedes of Lewis Hamilton. For Seb, meanwhile, it was a tougher outing, the defending champion being hampered by an engine software problem that let him down on power and down to 13th position at the end of Q2. Come race day, the problems continued for Seb. He hit early power unit trouble, having to retire on lap 5. Here is Sebastian after his retirement.
A second formation lap, for some reason we lost power. We don't know why, we don't understand the problem yet. I hope the second car has no problem. I hope Daniel's car is fine. Obviously 50% of the garage is down, which is bad, but yeah, it's going to be a long season. I think all of us expected, you know, cars to beach at some point. Unfortunately, it hit us. In the beginning, I thought I just have no K, so basically the battery doesn't discharge and I don't get any power from the battery. But I think we know by now that the engine failed for some reason. We lost a couple of cylinders, so lost a lot of power. If that happens, then the H cannot recover. You can't recover energy. If you can't recover energy, you can't discharge the battery. So it's all linked to each other. Once something fails, then it's a matter of time when to stop. But as I said, there's still one car in the race, so we hope that he gets through without any problems.
And Daniel did go on to finish in a great position, P2 behind the Mercedes of Nico Rosberg. He got to enjoy the podium at his home race. However, the second place position was taken from him after being disqualified from the results of the Australian Grand Prix. He was excluded from the race result for a breach of Article 5.14 of the Formula One technical regulations, which states that fuel mass flow must not exceed 100 kilograms per hour. Now, we will be contesting the results, and on Sunday night, the team notified the FIA of its intention to appeal. The team believe inconsistencies with the FIA fuel flow meter were prevalent all weekend up and down the pit lane. The team and Renault are confident the fuel supplied to the engine is in full compliance with the regulations, and we'll keep you up to date with the latest on this on our website. David Coulthard was once again back in his BBC commentary box for the new season. Rich caught up with him after the race.
So I'm joined here by DC after the Australian Grand Prix, first race of the 24th season. DC, can you give us a quick overview of the race and your thoughts?
Well, I'm pleasantly surprised that so many cars finished the Grand Prix. I think that after pre-season testing, we really thought you were going to see half the field maybe parking up. But what I think it does do is show just how quickly Formula One teams can react to issues. Renault particularly had a number of powertrain issues coming to this race. That obviously affected the Red Bulls' preparation. It was always clear that Mercedes powertrain cars were not only generating probably a bit more power, but they also had more reliability. But in the end, of course, we saw here Lewis Hamilton goes out with an issue. Sebastian Vettel, difficult qualifying, and then has an issue as well with the power delivery. But an amazing result there out front.
And I mean, you just mentioned there that with all the regulation changes in 2014, is there one specific area or challenge that makes it the most difficult for the drivers this year?
I think it's harnessing and deploying the amount of electrical energy that they can store in the air system. There's, 4 kilojoules of storage capacity. 2 kilojoules of energy can be deployed in any given lap, which is up to 160 horsepower. So, in simple terms, that's about 33 seconds of electrical power is, being deployed around a typical 1 minute 30 lap. So a third of your lap is really being influenced heavily by that energy. And of course, anyone who knows charging your mobile phone, how hot the battery gets when it's plugged into the mains, well, you can imagine the sort of electrical heat and energy that's going into the batteries in the cars. That all has to be cooled, harnessed, deployed, and recovered again, all within the space of a lap. So it's a huge engineering challenge. But as I say, that's what really sets Formula One apart from other racing series. They're prototype cars, and they find amazing solutions to all of those difficulties. It's a bit like if you get tape ripped, they're always able to find a solution to find another way of sealing the box.
In light of the FIA's ruling today, does that take away anything from Daniel's performance overall?
I don't think so, personally. I think that the technicalities of the fuel flow, Red Bull Racing are a professional team. The rules are quite clear. You've got 100 kilograms of fuel to use from the start of the Grand Prix until the checkered flag. There's another technicality there over the fuel flow rate per hour. But it's not in the interest of any team. I don't believe for one moment that any team would try and circumnavigate the regulations. So it will come down to how accurate the machinery is, how accurate the Red Bull Racing fuel flow meter is, how accurate the FIA fuel flow meter is, but what that does not do is take away anything from the amazing performances of the winner, Nico Rosberg, the second place man on the racetrack, Daniel Ricciardo, and the third place man on the racetrack, Kevin Magnussen. You know, there was exceptional performances, three different teams, three different drivers, and in terms of, you know, as we close the chapter and we are talking at 1:45 in the morning in Melbourne time, I think we can reflect on an exciting new period for Formula One.
And just in closing, any predictions for 2014 based on today?
You still have to say that Mercedes Grand Prix have a power advantage, and that's always going to be a very healthy thing when you're going through a Grand Prix season. Quite clearly from the wet qualifying, when you see how close Daniel was able to get in the wet conditions, where the power actually is less of an overall factor in performance, and I think that indicates that Red Bull have a pretty well sorted car with good downforce. It's going to be a battle of the powertrains.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time and catch up with you in Malaysia.
Thank you.
With new cars and new rules comes new strategy. Rich caught up with the head of hours after the race.
I'm joined now by Will Courtney, head of strategy here in Melbourne after the first race of the season. Will, can we get a quick overview of the race from you?
Yeah, I suppose from a purely strategy point of view, it was a fairly straightforward two-stop race. Started off well, got off to a reasonable start. Dan running in second place. Obviously had a problem on Seb's car, which was a shame, so it was just down to one car. Seb's car came out, so we pitted. Pretty much everyone else did the same. And then more or less split the rest of the race in two. A second stint on options, then a final stint on primes.
And what was the decision behind Seb starting on the mediums?
There was a few things. Obviously, here's a chance for safety car, and we thought he might get a bit held up in traffic in the first stint, so putting on something different to the cars around him might open up some possibilities during the race. So it was really just to be a bit creative to get him out of the traffic.
And with all the new regulations in 2014, how does that affect the strategy from your point of view?
I guess the main thing this year is obviously there's a lot more emphasis on management of fuel and management of the ERS system as well. And so when you use your battery, obviously managing fuel has always been something that we've had to deal with, but now there's a lot more emphasis on it. Now it's more limited, so we integrate a lot more of that into the rest of the strategy decisions. So when do we push, when do we use our fuel, when do we save fuel, when do we turn the power up in the ERS system, and when do we try and charge it back up. So there's a few more dimensions going on in the race now.
In terms of driver input and into the overall strategy, how much input do they have over a race weekend and in particular on the Sunday?
Generally, the drivers obviously have an interest in what's going on, but I think they trust us to go away and do the analysis and run the simulations and come back with the best recommendations. And then we'll sit down on Sunday morning and discuss it with them. And if they've got any questions, we'll try and do our best to answer it. But generally, we try and do it as a recommendation to them, what we think is the best thing to do.
If there's one thing fans can look out for this season in terms of strategy, what are the tips out there for them to keep in mind when they're watching races?
I think this year you might see a little bit more variation in pace through the race. The tyres that Pirelli have bought this year seem a little more robust than they were last year, so that is a bit simpler. But now, as I say, you've got this ability to play more with the fuel, play more with the ERS system, so you'll see some cars backing off, recharging, saving fuel, maybe then to attack again a bit later in the race. So there might be a bit more sort of toing and froing in terms of pace.
And in terms of all the different races across the season and all the different tyre compounds, just mentioning Pirelli there earlier, can you just give us a brief breakdown of the different tyre compounds and how they would change from race to race and how Pirelli decides what tyres to take to a specific race?
So it's the same sort of basic idea as before. So we've got the four different main dry tyre compounds: super soft, soft, medium and hard. This weekend we had the soft and medium, but I think Pirelli since last year have gone a step harder in all the tyres, whereas Australia last year was mostly a three-stop race, this year it was a fairly comfortable two-stop, and I think we're going to see that trend in a lot of the races where we're doing one less pit stop than we did last year. And in terms of how Pirelli choose their tyres, I guess from their point of view they want to make it interesting and exciting, so the tyres aren't too rock solid, but at the same time they don't want some of the races we had last year where we had very, very high degradation, so they're trying to pick the tyres that will give us that best balance.
Just going on last year's data and information and strategy from the 2013 season, how much of that will apply to 2014, or is it completely starting fresh?
No, there's an awful lot that carries over from previous years. There's a lot of data and information that we'll look back through previous seasons. Okay, it's a little bit different this year, but what we'll do is we'll look at trends from last season and say, okay, well, Malaysia maybe was harder on the tyres than Australia was, and we can apply the same kind of correlation to predict what's going to happen in Malaysia next week. So it's not identical, but the trends will probably be similar.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us on the podcast, and we'll catch up with you either in Malaysia or Bahrain.
Yep, looking forward to it. Thank you. Cool.
So it's been a tricky first race for the team, but there are many positives to be taken from the first outing of the RB10. Final word has to go to Christian Horner. Katie spoke to him after the race.
Christian, it's obviously very late because we've been waiting for a decision from the stewards about Daniel's race. But just before we talk about that, just tell us about Daniel's performance today.
Yeah, Daniel's performance was incredible. He drove a brilliant race, you know, didn't put a foot wrong. And under pressure, he was a really cool customer. And it was great to see the first Aussie to get on an Aussie podium.
And then what happened with Sebastian today?
We had an engine issue that reduced him down to four cylinders. And, you know, it was just impossible to run. So we had to retire the car. So important that we understand that and get on top of it. Unfortunately, when we got the car back to the garage this evening and reset all the electronics, it's fired up.
And now, obviously, you just heard from the FIA the disappointing news about Daniel's exclusion as well. Just tell us about your position on that.
Well, obviously, it's naturally hugely disappointing. We've appealed the decision because we don't feel that it's right. We believe that the car has complied with the rules at all time, and hopefully through the appeal process, we'll be able to demonstrate that.
And what are the next steps for that?
Well, obviously a date will have to be set for the hearing, which will no doubt be in Barras, and we will present our case that hopefully demonstrates clearly that you know, the car has fully complied with the rules.
And it's been a usual eventful day in Formula 1, but did you think 6 weeks ago that you would have had a car that could have been in contention for a podium position?
No, in reality, I mean, the team have done an unbelievable job in such a short space of time, so really proud of what the team have done and achieved, but you know, still a long way to go in this championship. We're only at the start, and it's going to be an interesting year. We can see the Mercedes are very quick. We need to work hard to catch them up, but you know, we've got plenty of work to do, but a really encouraging start.
Well, that's it for the first podcast of 2014. You can check all the behind-the-scenes pictures, plus get all the latest team news on the website. Thanks to Red Bull Records for some of the music we've heard in the podcast this week. We've had AWOL Nation, Five Knives, and we end with a tune that's been pretty big in the garage this weekend. Blitz Kids, Sometimes, the Hadouken remix. There's not much time to ponder over events in Albert Park, as we'll be back up and running in a week and a half, ready for round two in Malaysia. Until then, take care.